You're listening to the Texas Standard.
Safe to say the center of the American political universe for the past 24 hours has been the 6th Congressional District, a few states east of us. Georgia held a special election to fill a House seat. You may have heard about this. It's a move seen by many as a bellwether for Republicans in the Trump era, since Georgia's in the red column and the prospect of a Democrat taking an affluent white suburb once seemed unthinkable. Not in Georgia. Until last night, the Democrat, 30-year-old John Ossoff, came within 2 percentage points of an outright win. He'll face the top candidate on the Republican side in a June runoff. Should any of this give Texas Republicans pause? Elizabeth Seamus is Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Houston. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get to Texas, were you surprised by the results last night, or did they pretty much fall in line with what your expectations were?
I would have been more surprised if it hadn't gone to a runoff with that many candidates.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that definitely makes sense. But as you look at that district, Georgia's 6th district, the demographics, is there one congressional district that closely aligns with it here in Texas, maybe someplace where we might draw some parallels or comparisons?
The racial demographics are a little bit different, and actually some of the income demographics. But looking politically, Texas 7, which is in the suburbs of Houston, it's Culberson's district, is fairly similar on political demographics. So Georgia 6 and Texas 7 had almost identical margins for Romney in 2012.
Uh-huh.
Both Republican representatives that, you know, won pretty well, but both were really close on the presidential side. You know, Georgia 6 barely went to Trump, and Texas 7 actually barely went to Hillary Clinton when we look at the difference between the success of a Republican House member, but then in the case of Texas, the actual slight victory of the Democratic presidential candidate, and that could send some signals going forward to 2018.
Now, this district in the Houston area, Texas's 7th district, you said there were some differences demographically, but I think one of the things that a lot of commentators were focusing on was how in Georgia, the 6th, it tends to be white, affluent, that they've typically voted Republican in the past, tend to be better educated. Does that hold true for Texas's 7th as well?
So Texas's 7th is one of the wealthiest districts in the state of Texas. But it does have a little bit more of racial diversity. There's a Democratic enclave and a higher Hispanic population when comparing it over to Georgia. But the wealth is definitely there. And it has a strong Republican history, very similar to the Georgia 6th. So, you know, 2016 was an interesting blip, if you will, for the Democratic Party in that district.
So if you're John Culberson, and you hold the seat in Texas's 7th. Should you be scared by the results of last night?
You should definitely be paying attention to them. I don't know if it's time yet to get scared. But if I were Culberson, I'd be doing what I can for my district. I'd be fundraising like crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be building up my network to make sure that when the time comes, my people are going to be mobilized to go out and vote. Because I think mobilization is going to be the biggest story that comes out of this special election. And going forward is if Democrats see success in Georgia, that could energize and mobilize more Democrats elsewhere. And I think that's the potential for this to have implications for 2018. It's if people get mobilized and get excited. And that's a big question mark.
But don't you have to have a candidate similar to Ossoff in Georgia, someone who's who represents a new generation, who's younger, who is pushing all the buttons that go beyond party lines?
It definitely takes a candidate, that is for sure. You have to have somebody that people get excited about, and again, that people want to actually take the time and go out and vote for. You know, 2018 is going to be a midterm election. Turnout in midterms is historically lower, significantly lower than it is in presidential election years. So we will see a big dip in turnout, and you know, that could have some implications for a challenger. But, you know, Culberson's margin of victory was lower than the one that Price had in Georgia in 2016. So, you know, he had 56%, I think, of the vote in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that a challenger can get votes. But like I said, that challenger did benefit from what looked to be a Democratic tide in favor of Clinton in that district. Without a Democrat on the top of the ticket going into 2018, that could, you know, potentially hurt any challenger to Culberson. But then again, if we get a really competitive Senate race going in 2018, which who knows what could happen with that, that also could change the makeup of the voting population.
Very interesting to see how these dynamics develop. Elizabeth Seamus is assistant professor of political science at the University of Houston. Dr. Seamus, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.